You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
So our first reading is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. Our second reading is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'"
In a moment, I'm going to put quite a lot up on PowerPoint. If you don't like reading things off PowerPoint, don't worry, just listen. Faith comes through hearing the word of God. I'm going to ask one or two volunteers in a moment. Let's pray, shall we, together. We've just sung, "Our Heavenly Father, that you keep every promise and your word is true, that what you are, you speak, you reveal. And what you say, you'll do. So please help us to listen to your word and to respond rightly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." Well, you were all talking beforehand, before the service. I'm going to get, hope you'll talk after the service together. And what I want you to do is just to chat to somebody nearby. What good news have you heard recently? There's some obvious good news locally. Paul Bennett's back with us. Paul, it's great to see you having been shut in, unable to leave your house for ages. Paul, it's great to see you. But what good news have you heard recently? Just chat to one another, all right? What good news? What good news have you heard recently? Here's good news. Adam and Ashley Beattie have just turned up. Adam and Ashley, great. Sorry to embarrass you. It's great to see you, all right, with us. Adam, who is a trainee here with us a few years ago now, he and Ashley are working in Manchester at a church in Manchester. So you say hello to them later. Why don't you turn to the back, noting lots of bits of good news there, one or two bits of sad news, actually. This is my way of doing the notices because I've forgotten to do them. A big welcome to Anna Watkin. That's good news. She comes to us starting today. I can't really tomorrow, as children's schools and youth worker. All right, Anna's sat there at the back. Anna, welcome to you. That's good news, isn't it? There you are. Now, is the next one good or bad news? Sad news. Wes and Robin are going off to Bradford. Ah, oh, there you are. All right. So there you are. Do pray for them. Their last Sunday next week. Tom McKee, look at this, working with Crosslinks on a short-term mission. That's great news. Mikey Gilmore going to the Oaks for a year. Things there to read about him. That's great news. Not that we want to get rid of our young people, But it's great they're going off to serve the Lord in different ways. Now, a bit of sad news. Number five, older Trinity members will be saddened to hear that Wendy Waldridge, who is the wife of a former minister, John Waldridge, died very suddenly. That's sad news, but good news. She died in Christ. She's in glory. Great news. And then number six, a grandson for Suzanne. Isn't that great? Are you granny or grandma? Nana, of course, yeah, Nana. Okay. Now, there are other notices there. It's interesting, number seven, Acts 29, church in hard places, amongst the least privileged and the poor. How can we reach them with the good news? And Nicholas Salisbury is going to be going to a workshop at Acts 29, church planning workshop on that. So do join her if you'd like to go to that. And number eight, you can, there's good news, there are recycling bins at Sainsbury's. Okay, I'm making no comment. Today we hear the good news that the sovereign Lord God promises will be proclaimed. And we've just been singing, listen to him. Will we listen? Will we listen and respond as he wants? Will we be the people that he wants? Let's just refresh our memory where we are in Isaiah. It's easy to forget this. You can see Jerusalem just there. And you can see Babylon just there. And Isaiah's prophecy is to the people in Jerusalem. And they would not repent. They would not turn back to God. They were stuck in their sin and their disobedience to God. And if you remember, the Babylonians came 605 to 586 BC against Jerusalem, and they attacked Jerusalem over that period of time. And Isaiah said, yes, actually, they will come in judgment because you won't repent. And you will go, you God's people, into exile. They were taken into Babylon. And Isaiah prophesied about this. Quite extraordinary. So God's people had been put into the promised land with Jerusalem, the great city where the Lord promised that he would dwell. And he'd meet with them in the temple with sacrifices. Now, the people were so disobedient, God, through Isaiah, said they would go into exile. They'd be under judgment in Babylon. But Isaiah prophesied great things, that they would also come back. He would not let his people go. And they would come back. And in 539 BC, they come back from exile. Babylonians kicked out. The Persians take over. And the Persian king says, some of you can go back and some of them go back. All right. So that's the history of where we are with Isaiah's prophecy. So what are we looking at this morning? What is the good news that the sovereign Lord wants the anointed one to proclaim? Just look at this verse. So this is Isaiah 61. This is quite a long way into his prophecy, and he says this. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me. We're going to have to think who this me is. But let's just think about what is the good news that the sovereign Lord wants the anointed one to proclaim, to preach. This is good news to hear. Okay? Now, I need, I think, seven volunteers, all right, to come. Who will volunteer? Youngish people, all right? Can I ask all you five sat on that? Would you mind coming out? Come on, come out. And can you come and get yellow cards? This is all you'll have to do in the service, all right? I want five yellow cards. I need two more people, Mikey and Alex. Can you come and find a yellow card, all right? You've been away on Maidwell, haven't you? You've come away eager to serve the Lord. Great. Yellow cards. And what I want you to do is to come to the front and put yourselves in order, starting with 1A through to 1B, 1C, 2A, 2C. All right? So do you think you can get yourselves in order? All right, yeah, from starting with 1A here, all right? Yeah, 1A here, 1A. Have we got 1A? Oh, we're one short. Oh, no, we're coming, they're coming, they're coming, coming, coming. All right. 1A, okay? So can you just hold them up? We don't mind if we can't see your faces, all right? Okay? Okay, here they are. What's the good news that the Sovereign Lord wants the Anointed One to proclaim? Here it is. He binds up the brokenhearted. He binds up the brokenhearted, verse 1A. Isn't that wonderful? Good news of the brokenhearted having hearts bound up. Look at this, verse 1b. He frees those enslaved and in darkness. Good news of freedom for those in captivity, those in darkness. 2a, he gives his favour. That's a little bit of a shorthand. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. But he comes being gracious, pronouncing news of graciousness, of freeing people from debts and from when they're enslaved. 2c, what's happened to 2b? Oh, what's happened to 2b? He comforts all who mourn. He comforts all who mourn. Good news. He comforts all who mourn. 3a, he provides for those who grieve. Is that wonderful? He provides. Good news of provision for those who grieve. He gives a crown of beauty. Fantastic. Good news of a crown of beauty. Haven't you always wanted to have a crown of beauty? He brings gladness and praise instead of mourning and despair. Fantastic good news, isn't it? Thanks. You can sit down. Just put them on the table, all right? And I'll just put those up, all right? So people, if they couldn't see them, he binds up the brokenhearted. He frees those enslaved and in darkness. He gives his favour to release from debt. That's the sense of the year of the Lord's favour, if you just see that, all right? Number two, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour was a year every 50 years when they released, in the Old Testament, they released everybody from debt. Wonderful. Lots of other things that went with it, but it's a tremendously gracious thing. You're in debt, it's all gone. That'd be quite a radical thing to do, wouldn't it? He comforts all who mourn. He provides for those who grieve. He gives a crown of beauty. He brings gladness and praise as opposed to mourning and despair. Just look at verse 3. And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. But there was one thing left out in verse 2. Just look at the end of, the middle of verse 2. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God. All the way through Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah's been absolutely clear. God has spoken through Isaiah saying there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment on those who oppose God and who do not believe in him. It will be a day of vengeance. It will be a day of punishment. Absolutely clear, running all the way through. But also wonderful promises of grace and blessing, as we can see here. So he will judge and avenge. Who is the me? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And I think it's Isaiah in terms of short-term fulfillment. Who are the poor, the brokenhearted, those in darkness, those who mourn, those in prison? Well, those in exile in Babylon, and those who maybe are reading it as they come back, right, and have come back to Jerusalem. They went into exile under God's judgment because of their sinful rebellion and unwillingness to repent. They were poor. They were brokenhearted. They were in darkness. They were mourning. They were those in prison. And even when they did come back, as we'll see, because God promised it, actually it wasn't quite as good as they thought it was going to be. You see, the Lord will bring them back from exile to rebuild the city and the temple. We've seen lots of promises of that being worked out in the short term. But of course, we've seen as we've worked through Isaiah, the Lord's plan through Isaiah is much, much bigger. Actually, it's not just through Isaiah. It's right from the beginning of the Old Testament that all of humanity fell into sin in Adam, but the Lord's great promise through Abraham was to bless all nations, to reverse the effects of sin, to bring people back to himself and to bless all nations. And Isaiah is making great promises. And it's interesting, as we've gone through Isaiah, we see, and we do see them worked out in short-term fulfillment, but actually there's always something much bigger, much greater. Much, much bigger and much greater. So who is the me? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Well, just look down at your service sheet and look at Luke 4. So I'm going to read from verse 10. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. I mean, this must have been sensational, mustn't it? And then he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Verse 20, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Mustn't that have been sensationally electric? That scripture from Isaiah, those promises from Isaiah, and the Lord Jesus Christ says they are fulfilled in me as I proclaim the good news and as I bring the good news through my death on the cross. So Jesus Christ says it's about him, Luke 4. So we don't have to kind of spend lots of time working that out. Jesus is absolutely clear. This is about him. Jesus the Christ, God's anointed king. Who is, of course, also the suffering servant. As we've worked through Isaiah, we've seen that God is going to work out his plans, his purposes for all nations, for the people of all nations, through his suffering servant. His anointed king, who is also the suffering servant, who comes preaching good news. Who are the poor, the brokenhearted, those who mourn, those in prison? I think it's absolutely clear that those are every sinner, like you and me, who is alienated or exiled from God because of sin. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. We've all turned away from God. We're all under his judgment. We all deserve his judgment. Can I say the vast majority of people in this world live in material poverty? This, I think, is speaking primarily about spiritual poverty, but we want everybody in this world to hear of Christ. And of course, if we love our neighbour and believe in God's holiness and justice, we want to raise them up materially as well. But this is spiritual poverty, I think, primarily and clearly. But do you notice where Jesus stops quoting from in Isaiah 61? Do you notice this? Just look at it again. What was the next verse in Isaiah 61 after to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour? Why does he stop there? What was the next verse? That there will be a day of vengeance. Now, can I say, it's not because Jesus didn't believe that would be a day of judgment and vengeance when those who do not believe will be punished and judged. But he was making the point that as he comes a first time, that it is the time of salvation, the time of the proclamation of the good news. Jesus would talk about judgment lots of times, but it shifted on. If you like, the coming of the Messiah is, if you like, split in two. There's him coming a first time to bring salvation and preach the good news of salvation. He will come again one day to judge, as we say in the creed, regularly, the living and the dead. And that will be a day of vengeance. It will be a day of punishment. Jesus was absolutely clear on that. So let's just think about when and how is Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled? Now, sometimes there is an immediate short-term fulfillment in the life of God's Old Testament people. They return from exile in Babylon. They rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. There is a short-term fulfillment. But there's a threefold fulfillment of prophecies in Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We might say the commencement of Christ's kingdom. When Jesus comes as the Christ, of course, he comes as the suffering servant who dies on the cross for sins. So there's Christ the King, the suffering servant. He says, Luke 4, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He is the light. Last week we were thinking about the light. Arabella's prayers brilliantly picked that up. The light coming. He comes as the light of the world. And he says those who believe in him will never walk in darkness. He dies on the cross and he's raised to life. The commencement, we might say, of Christ's kingdom. Lots of prophecy from Isaiah being fulfilled there in that first coming. Then there's the continuation of Christ's kingdom. We'll come back to this in a moment, but there's Christ's kingdom going on. Christ's kingdom is here now. Every single person who acknowledges Jesus Christ as King and Saviour, you're in the kingdom. The kingdom's here. It's people who acknowledge the King. And one day is going to be a completion of Christ's kingdom. We'll come back to that. But I like to keep people thinking clearly about how is Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled? Is it short term? Is it the start of Christ's kingdom? The continuation of Christ's kingdom? The completion of Christ's kingdom? So, Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Good news. Good news of Jesus Christ, God's King, who suffers and dies on the cross and is raised to life. Isn't it fantastic? He frees sinners from the debt, the penalty of sin, and forgives all sin. Isn't that fantastic good news? Maybe there's somebody here who needs to be convinced of their sin, that their sin leaves them under God's judgment, in debt to God, alienated from him, facing his judgment. But Christ, by his death, frees sinners from the debt and penalty of sin, and he forgives all sin. He frees sinners from the power of sin, gloriously, fantastically. It's not just we're freed from the penalty and punishment of sin, but we're actually freed from the power of sin in our hearts. We don't have to sin. Of course, lots of us know that we do carry on sinning. It's a reality. But we can follow Christ and do what he wants. We're freed from the power of sin. He brings light instead of the darkness of sin. One of the things about walking in the light is our sin is exposed, isn't it? As we were reminded of last week. He brings light instead of the darkness of sin. He provides spiritually for those who mourn or grieve their sin. It's absolutely fantastic. Provides spiritually. Promise of Isaiah 61. He provides spiritually. And of course, he provides spiritually in all the trauma of living in a fallen world. There's a dam that might collapse at any moment. I can trust Christ. I'm secure with him. Whatever it may be. I was just struck actually on the news. I think 1 million people have been evacuated in China because of the typhoon. It's kind of slightly different scale to Whaley Bridge, isn't it? Whatever. And maybe the typhoon won't move, but they can trust Christ if they're Christians. We've got Chinese Christians here this morning. Praise God. He brings praise and gladness. Isn't that wonderful, the good news? Because of all these blessings. And a crown of beauty. Not going to say much about that. So today is the day of salvation through hearing the good news of Jesus. Here's one more thing to think about. What do you think when you see an oak tree? What do you think about when you see an oak tree? Just throw out some ideas. Sorry? Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. Absolutely beautiful tree. An oak tree. Anything else? Ancient, thank you. Very deep roots, thank you. Thank you, it started off as a little acorn. Anything else?
Durability,
thank you. Strength, okay. Strength, okay. Just look what it says in the last verse that's down here in Isaiah 61. There's lots of other bits of Isaiah 61. Look at this. The good news, this is what the people will be. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will be called oaks of righteousness. Everybody I've seen this week, I've been saying, who's trusting Christ, I've been saying, you're an oak of righteousness. What does that mean? Look, an oak of righteousness planted, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. What's the idea of an oak? I think it's stability and strength, isn't it? And security. People said the roots go down deep, goes from a little acorn. But an oak of righteousness. But look, the significant thing here is that it's planted of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Isn't that marvelous? So if you're trusting Christ this morning, you've heard the good news, his people are called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord for the display of his splendor. Oaks of righteousness. We're right with the Lord. Our sins are forgiven. We're secure in his love and his grace forever as we turn from our sin, as we trust Christ as our Savior. We're oaks of righteousness. We're to display his righteousness and his justice to the world. Look, we're planted by the Lord. When I plant things, they die. The Lord plants them. They're secure and strong forever, for the display of his splendor. Isn't that marvelous? Can you go away thinking about that? If you're in Christ, trusting Christ, you're an oak of righteousness planted by the Lord for the display of his splendor. Last week we heard how the light of the Lord came upon his people and his light shone through them. Same kind of idea. We're to display the splendor of the Lord. What will that look like for you? Have a think about it. As we go away today, what would that look like? An oak of righteousness, right with the Lord through Christ, displaying his splendor, living as he wants, being light. Let's pray, shall we? We thank you, our gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God. We thank you for this glorious good news. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ could stand in that synagogue and take those words of that prophecy of Isaiah and say that they were all about him, and that he had come to proclaim good news for captives, for the poor, for those in darkness. And we acknowledge our poverty and our darkness as sinners, and we rejoice that Jesus has come as the Saviour, the Rescuer, the one who frees us from the penalty of sin by his death, frees us from the power of sin by his death, and one day gloriously will free us from the presence of sin in the new creation. So, Father, please help us to be those in Christ, planted by you, to display the splendor, your splendor, and the splendor of your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the musicians, one last thing I should say. I should have said this. Just to finish this, I'll move through this very quickly. Threefold, the commencement. We've done that. The continuation of Christ's kingdom. We, God's people, are in Christ. We're saved, freed from the judgment to come. And Christ is in us. And we're light. And oaks of righteousness, displaying God's splendor. It's a continuation of Christ's kingdom. That prophecy is being fulfilled now in us. And then the completion of Christ's kingdom, when he returns, Christ returns in glory, the new creation, the new Jerusalem, for believers from all nations. We've seen lots of this in Isaiah. Perfect light, because we're right in the presence of God. No pain, no death, no suffering. And he will judge those who don't repent and believe. So commencement, continuation, completion, as we think about prophecy.